The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Wise words from Sheryl Crow. Change will do you good. And I guess everyone here remembered to change their clocks, or else you were here sitting in the parking lot early. And the leaves are changing out the windows. Well, good morning. My name is Ann Rostosky, and I'm the Vice President of the Board and today's Worship Associate. So I'd like to welcome everyone who's here in our sanctuary and also those of you who are joining us by the miracle of Zoom. Those of you who are new, those of you who have been here for a long time, we welcome you. Whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, take some time away from the news cycle and spend it here with us focusing on spirituality this morning. And now we will have our chalice lighting. Our member David Drum, who hasn't been with us here in person for a while, is here, and he's going to light the chalice as I read the words. They are taken from the words of Reverend Naomi King. As we nurture this precious light together, we become a light of hope, turning isolation into community, anguish into peace, sorrow into joy. As we do, our faith burns a steady flame of innovation, banishing illusion, creating a new and renewing way together. Together, we turn this world from bleak to bright. And even though it might be bleak out today, it's bright with all of you in here. Now we will light the peace lamp. If you could read the words on the screen. May peace be with you and with all the people of the world. And now Reverend Andrew will give us opening words.
We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome who come with hope in your heart, who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome who are seekers of a new faith, who come to probe and explore, who come to learn. We bid you welcome who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this people a family. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are on your journey, we bid you welcome. I am Reverend Andrew, and I bid you welcome. Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is a caring, diverse, and exciting community which strives to demonstrate its faith values by deeds rather than by words. We are a progressive religious community, open and welcoming to all. We have diverse, evolving theological perspectives, coming together with questions, coming together with a searching spirit, and part of our evolving theological curiosity, we come both with pride and humility. The pride that what we believe and what we do matters, the humility that our neighbor's beliefs and our neighbor's actions also matter, and that both will change. In this fashion, I welcome you. I welcome all of you and all of you. Come, let us worship together, and let us join our voices as we start this time of worship with Enter, Rejoice, and Come In, Same one we sang last week, but a different version. So please rise in body or in spirit. I sometimes have a story to share. Today we have a video. So if you want to come forward, you may. It'll be shown on this screen and that screen. It's a video to let wash over you. And you'll see why I said wash over you when we watch it. Enjoy.
People are really, they're enthralled that I would do something that just is destined to wash away. That really strikes a chord with people because really, truly, it's the story of our lives. Our lives are impermanent. And the tide is unstoppable. My name is Andres Amador, and I call myself an earthscape artist. For me, earthscape art is using materials of the earth that will go back to the earth. My tools are my rakes. The entire beach is my canvas. Sometimes it feels like the designs are wanting to express themselves, and I've been chosen as the means by which they will occur. The two main directions that I go with in the art are the geometric, which is very precise, so it's all about perfection. The other side of it is the organic art, the art that feels like it's emerging from the location, and the art that's telling me what to do next. Especially when I'm doing the more organic forms, I can feel the curves. I can feel how something is supposed to move. It engages my whole body. To maximize my canvas, I need to work after there's been a significant high tide, and now there's a significant low tide. I've been much more attuned to how just the world around us shifts in a way that, as a city boy, I was not quite aware of. There was a time in my life where I was working as a computer technician. Early on in doing the artwork that was geometrically oriented, I became fascinated with fractals. Doing these patterns on the beach, I am creating these complex designs, but from the inside. When I stand back, they are fractals. The criteria I'm looking for are a large beach, and then when I'm on location, I'm looking at the sand quality, the texture. My favorite spot in the Bay Area was amazing. I thought, I'm psyched. There's gonna be great things here. The next week, the beach was pretty much gone. Every day, the beach is changing. So I can't take a location for granted. The remote-controlled helicopter is the most significant thing to have occurred to the art. Even though I've sketched it out, and I have a sense of what it's going to be, you never know until you get above and can take a look. Now I can get a sense of the entire landscape. I can photograph from perspectives and heights. I can get past obstacles and see from new positions. It explodes the possibilities. And then I jump over to here and I do the same over here, and pretty soon they start to come together. I offer workshops to the public. We do some practice things together, and then we create a design together.
Never turn your back on the ocean.
Sand is a fabulous medium. It's very tactile, it's very physical, like you're digging and you're burying yourself. It's like a big doodle pad. As we leave childhood, we leave behind just this pure creative exploration. When people are given permission to just play, it can just be so freeing. There is the phrase, follow your bliss. I think that when we focus on our joy, that can become the bliss. Once I've created a piece, I feel like it has moved through me and that I can let it go. Usually the tide is already starting to wash it away, and I don't feel an attachment to them. I feel complete.
What amazing art of creating these huge pieces and allowing them to disappear. As our children go off to their classes, let us sing to them. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere. You may go. It's funny, if you search online for a video about let it go, I wasn't thinking this morning, it was all frozen. And I was like, oh, let it go. I was like, well, that's not what I'm looking for. Let it go. My daughter loved that, but it's not the right thing. Good morning. We have a reading today from Thich Nhat Hanh, an amazing Buddhist monk who passed away earlier this year, I think January of 2022. Amazing man with great teachings on presence, on mindfulness, on love. Just amazing. This is from his book, Cultivating the Mind of Love. Nothing remains the same for two consecutive moments. Heraclitus said, we can never bathe twice in the same river. Arguably, maybe said Confucius, while looking at a stream, said, it is always flowing, day and night. The Buddha implored us not just to talk about impermanence, but to use it as an instrument to help us penetrate deeply into reality and obtain liberating insight. We may be tempted to say that because things are impermanent, there is suffering. But the Buddha encouraged us to look again. Without impermanence, life is not possible. How can we transform our suffering if things are not impermanent? How can our daughter grow up into a beautiful young lady? How can the situation in the world improve? We need impermanence for social justice and for hope. If you suffer, it is not because things are impermanent. It is because you believe things are permanent. When a flower dies, you don't suffer much because you understand that flowers are impermanent. But you cannot accept the impermanence of your beloved one. And you suffer deeply when she passes away. If you look deeply into impermanence, you will do your best to make her happy right now. Aware of impermanence, you become positive, loving, and wise. Impermanence is good news. Without impermanence, nothing would be possible. And with impermanence, every door is open for change. Instead of complaining, we should say, long live impermanence. Impermanence is an instrument for liberation. Wow. Impermanence is an instrument for liberation. I mean, thank you, Thich Nhat Hanh, for such a challenge, really, such a challenge. I mean, we know in our bones, right? We know in our bones the reality of the ubiquity of impermanence. And yet still it is hard, still it is challenging. So it bears repeating. Don't be afraid of some change, right? That's why I picked that hymn again. I warned you last week, if you were here, I said, you may hear this again next week. Don't be afraid of some change. Some days we could sing only that verse 5 times, right? Don't be afraid of some change. The seasons come and go. The days get longer and shorter. Flowers bloom and wither, trees grow, trees fall. Don't be afraid of some change. Our bodies change through the years, gaining some abilities and losing others. So everything changes. Nothing is permanent. All right, that was easy. As long as we all agree that impermanence exists, my job is done, right? Check. Okay, great. I feel like I come to this a lot in sermons. I'm like, okay, great. Change is inevitable. Are we done? What's my time? No, well, not so much, because when I first thought about this, when I first think about the topic of change, the topic of impermanence, I think I really did envision sort of a simple service. We're like, hey, everything changes, nothing stays the same. That's life, it washes away, just like we saw. And things change, done. But there's so much to say. There's so much to say that this too shall pass. There's so much more than seeing the seasons come and go and having new people join us here for worship. This too shall pass is a deep, it's a profound statement about the nature of our very beings, not just the natural world around us, but about us. Listen to these words spoken by Abraham Lincoln. This was the year before he was elected president. It is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise men to invent him a sentence to be ever in view, and which should be true and appropriate in all times and situations. They presented him the words, "And this too shall pass away." How much it expresses. How chastening in the hour of pride. How consoling in the depths of affliction. "And this too shall pass away." This quote is from an address that Lincoln gave to the Wisconsin Agricultural Society at the Wisconsin State Fair in 1859. So he was talking to those people involved with tilling the land, involved with growing crops, and they knew in their soul the very fact of what he was talking about, right? For the earth is constantly changing, giving a good yield one year, a poor harvest the next. Lincoln names 2 very, very important aspects of living with the philosophy that this too shall pass away. The first is chastening in our hour of pride. right? This is the harder, sometimes more difficult one. And it's not as fun to remember that this too shall pass when things are going my way. I feel happy, my family is healthy, the sun is shining, anything feels possible. You know, this is an example, it's not right now. Everything feels possible, this too shall pass. If we are able-bodied, it is temporary. If we are accomplishing everything we dreamed of, that too is temporary. That's the check on our pride that Lincoln talked about. Don't be too sure of yourself, because that too will pass. But the flip side is just as uplifting to our spirits as it was chastening to our pride in our depths of affliction. Where we are overwhelmed with family, with work, with school, with life, this too shall pass. I feel sad. My family is sick. It's raining. Nothing feels possible. This too shall pass. When I'm feeling anxious about something, when I'm working on a difficult task, being consoled in times of sorrow, I remember that the times of heartache, the difficulty are also temporary. Again, not easy. Living with a deep assurance that all things are impermanent is not easy. It's easy to talk about. Yeah, it's really easy to say. We know the flowers bloom and wither, but living with that faith is different. It's difficult. Here again, the words of Thich Nhat Hanh. We may be tempted to say that because things are impermanent, there is suffering. But the Buddha encouraged us to look again. Without impermanence, life is not possible. How can we transform our suffering if things are not impermanent? How can our daughter grow up into a beautiful young lady? How can the situation in the world improve? We need impermanence for social justice and for hope. If you suffer, it is not because things are impermanent. It is because you believe things are permanent. When a flower dies, you don't suffer much because you understand that flowers are permanent. But you cannot accept the impermanence of your beloved one. And you suffer deeply when she passes away. This is where living with a mindset of impermanence in our lives gets amazing and amazingly difficult. Truly, how can my daughter grow up without change? How can the situation in the world improve? We need impermanence for social justice, for hope. That's amazing. That's amazing to frame it that way. But oh, the impermanence of our beloved, who will surely pass away. The impermanence of ourselves, as we will surely pass away. These impermanences are true not only in what we experience, how we feel, but it's also in our very lives themselves, right? I mean, that's part of the human condition here. Andres Amador, the Earthscape artist whose work we just saw, said that his art speaks the story of our lives. Our lives are impermanent and the tide is unstoppable. Oh, but remember, he creates huge, beautiful pieces of art with rakes on beaches just to be washed away. Just to be washed away. The tide is unstoppable. The truth of his art really hits home with the truth of our lives. One day our lives will end. I find it hard to think about our own mortality. Sure, I know that I will at some point not exist. But knowing that in my head is very different than feeling it in my heart. I mean, the knowledge that one day our lives will end transcends disciplines. It permeates our very being of everyone. Abraham Lincoln talked about it with respect to agriculture. Thich Nhat Hanh in Buddhism. Andres Amador with his earthscapes. It transcends everything that humans do. There's a biblical quote which holds the same sentiment in quite a blunt manner. Very blunt. This is from the book of James. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. This is actually the quote that was preached on at my seminary graduation. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Yeah, thanks a lot, James. Yeah, that's really, really helpful. I don't remember what they said at my graduation. I just remember that quote. That's really uplifting. No, it's not uplifting. It's not uplifting at all. But in that statement, we come to one of the central tasks of religion, as I see it. One of the central tasks of religion. How do we live? How do we live knowing that one day the world will go on and we will not be there? I don't know what is true for you, but I can share what's true for me. I can share my experiences. When I think that my life is but a mist, that our lives are impermanent and the tide is unstoppable, it's upsetting. It's upsetting. I console myself. This is how I console myself, how I bring meaning, how I live knowing that I will not always be here. Is I believe that I will live on in those lives that I touch. Just as my grandparents, my ancestors before me, live on in me, live on in how I act in the world, live on in everyone they interacted with. The impact I make on the world is my legacy and the life I leave. And it may sound, I know, because it does to me a little bit, it may sound a little bit trite that I live on in those lives I have touched. But I'm not just saying it, because my view of the divine, when I use the term God, which I occasionally do, what I mean is the connections that we create, the connections that we've created, this right now, our feelings for each other, that is what I see as divine. And that transcends me and you and being here together. I don't understand it. But I know that the goodwill, the love of those who have gone before us lives on in us. But hold on a second, right? Hold on a second here, because we can go further, can't we? I mean, all life is impermanent. All life. A few years ago, my wife and I were watching, we got a babysitter, had a date night, and we watched the 2012 movie, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Well, the title really says it all, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. It follows the lives of people as an asteroid approaches Earth, threatening the end of the world. Now, there's another more recent one, a sort of dark comedy, equally sort of funny and upsetting, Don't Look Up. It's another one. It's also based on an asteroid threatening all life. Needless to say, I don't find these very uplifting movies. I get stuck on the end of the world part. I mean, everyone dies. That's my nightmare right there. No, like literally, that's what keeps me up at night. Like, this is my nightmare. If there's no one left, then how do I live on in others? Right? I mean, how does the work we do here for social justice and love make any difference? If our planet is destined to be destroyed, what is left? Thich Nhat Hanh says that we need impermanence for social justice and hope. But where is that hope when all is impermanent, right? I mean, even the planet. I'm not making this up. That was just a movie. Yeah, these are just movies, but the planet is temporary. The earth will outlive us and many more generations. As the flower blooms and withers, so do the planets and the solar systems. So here we are watching a movie about my deepest theological and personal fears. Now, needless to say, I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't a great date. Yeah, it wasn't good. And after watching that movie, I fell into a deep funk, a really deep funk. What is the point of life if everything vanishes? If nothing is permanent, then why? What's the reason for anything at all? Nothing matters. Now, my mental state was not a good place for anyone to be in. And when I'm in an emotional or spiritual funk, I pray. And praying for me looks a lot like running, like identical to running sometimes. So I went out for a run the morning after. Went out for a long run, and I just was going and going. And as it would have it, inspiration, the divine, I don't know, name it what you want, something, as the universe coincided, things coalesced, and something clicked. And while I was out on the run, I was thinking about all life on the planet ending. A really positive run, really good. Yeah. And then I remembered Abraham Lincoln's words, actually. I remembered Abraham Lincoln. And the speech which I had come across when looking for quotes about impermanence, I came across this speech, and I actually stopped in my tracks as I was running, and I had a spiritual epiphany. I was like, whoa, what is happening here? From what he said, when I first thought of using this quote, I omitted his final sentence. Here's what he says, his words again with the end. It is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise men to invent him a sentence to be ever in view and which should be true and appropriate in all times and situations. They presented him the words, "And this too shall pass away." How much it expresses, how chastening in the hour of pride, how consoling in the depths of affliction. And this too shall pass away. And yet, let us hope it is not quite true. Let us hope, rather, that by the best cultivation of the physical world beneath and around us and the intellectual and moral world within us, we shall secure an individual, social, and political prosperity and happiness, whose course shall be onward and upward, and which, while the earth endures, shall not pass away. Now remember the sentiment of the sentence. The sentiment of the sentence, and it uplifted me. It affirmed me. Let us hope it is not quite true. Let us hope, rather, that by the best cultivation of the physical world, beneath and around us, the intellectual and moral world within us, we shall secure an individual, social, and political prosperity and happiness whose course shall be onward and upward. Now, Lincoln was talking to an agricultural society at a state fair. I'm talking at a religious gathering. So I take his statement a step differently than what he said. The sentiment holds. Let us hope that our actions and our lives have an impact, and that impact will not pass away. That's a theological statement of hope and faith, a statement which, when looking deep inside myself, I find that it rings true. My life is but a fleeting mist, here for a bit and then vanishing. As far as we understand, life on this world will also pass away. But there is something which will not pass away. There is something, I was just saying, there's something that transcends us, right? If it transcends us, how can I say it will be gone? And it transcends the world, and that will sustain. This is where many religions come together in a fundamental agreement. Oh, this is all religions coming together in one agreement. In some places, an all-powerful deity, Yahweh, God, Allah, or combination of many deities, Brahman in all its incarnations, the Greek and Roman pantheons, traditional Asian household gods, spirits of the directions, still other understandings, the Tao, nature, science, humanity, love, beloved community, each one of these terms bears in mind the fact that there exists something greater than our individual lives. There exists something greater than our individual lives. It's that essence which we embody and which transcends us that gives meaning and value to our lives. Yeah, I'm getting deep here. That's where I need to go. Unitarian Universalism witnesses to something larger than ourselves also. We think, what? No, we don't. We all can do whatever we want. It can sometimes be hidden, though, Unitarian Universalism likes to hide our theological truths behind our idolatry of verbiage. There's so many words. The principles. Our principles point to something sustaining, but they don't name it. For to be committed to action and relationship, there must be a belief that what we do matters. What we do matters to ourselves, it matters to others, it matters that to that which is greater than us. We witness to love. Standing on the side of love, the song or the movement, is a theological statement that the most important thing in the world is love. And that love surpasses and transcends all of us as individuals. So as Lincoln said, we must have hope and faith that there is some things which shall not pass away. When I was in a funk about everything passing away, I was being a bit presumptuous. I had the audacity to think that I knew what this life is all about and what is transient or permanent. It's hard, but I need to check my ego. I need to check the idea that I have any idea what's happening in the universe. And when I let myself see the mysteries and the all in the world. And so when I truly step back from myself, I see that love may go on. I mean, who am I to know? I don't know. We come from stardust, right? I mean, we're stars exploded. You are a star. Like, that is unfathomable. We truly are pieces of the cosmos. So let's give that stardust a great ride, steeped in love, steeped in care. Right? So remember this, this too shall pass. The admonition keeps us humble when we are prideful. It uplifts us in times of affliction. But let us also hope that not quite everything shall pass. There's a deep and abiding essence which permeates beyond ourselves and preserves past our understanding. Amen.
We have now come to the part of our service, Matters of the Heart, where folks who have a significant joy lifting them up, a significant sorrow weighing them down, or something they feel they need to share with the community will have an opportunity to do so. As usual, we'll have an opportunity for everyone here in the sanctuary to share if they care to, and then follow up with folks on Zoom, and I'll explain how in just a moment. We'll have a brief piece of music here again, just to give people an opportunity to collect their thoughts, and then we will go right into it. So, without further ado, can bring this time of sharing to a close. We will not be singing Spirit of Life this week. Instead, we will try something a little different. for all that is our life, which seems awfully apropos given the topic of the day.
Please pray with me. When love is felt or fear is known, when holidays and holy days and such times come, when anniversaries arrive by calendar or consciousness, when seasons come as seasons do, old and known but somehow new, when lives are born or people die, when something sacred is sensed in soil or sky, mark the time. Respond with thought or prayer or smile or grief. Let nothing living slip between the fingers of the mind. For all of these are holy things we will not, cannot find again. Amen. Let us close our time with some unison song, if you would rise in body or in spirit, for let it be a dance we do.
The chalice with the words of Kevin Jago, who happens to be the minister at Bucksmont UU Church. When the candle dims, the wax almost spent, the light turns amber like a sunset. Still it provides light, still it provides heat, still it can kindle new flame and pass its glow on and contribute to new illumination. When sunsets turn to new days, when seasons transform all, when the candle dims, all is not lost. Hope continues, uncertain and true, like candlelight, ready to spark again. All is not lost.
Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. For to live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it. And when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. Amen and blessed be.